Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome each of you today to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We welcome each of you today, wherever that you might be and wherever you might be listening from. And I pray today that God's grace will fill your heart, will touch your heart. You know, I'm just in the mood today to have church. You know, yesterday morning I had such a wonderful, wonderful time in prayer. I mean, I had just such a awesome, edifying time as I knelt down and began to pray and began to pour my heart out to God, how graciously the Holy Ghost filled my bedroom and the Spirit of God. If you don't know anything about the Holy Ghost, oh, you're missing. You're missing so much from God. That's how we sense His presence, by the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Ghost, you can't have church. You can't have a worship service. And the preacher can't preach, and the singer can't sing, and the teacher can't teach. You've got to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost if you're ever going to have or accomplish anything in the kingdom of the Most High God. I want to reach back today about 34 years ago. The singer here is Fred Johnson, who I use for my opening and closing music. For a short time, he traveled with Jimmy Swaggart. But I love to hear this man sing, because this man has an anointing on his life. Singing today, "Where Could I Go But to the Lord?"
Yeah.
sing that chorus again.
Where could I go? Somebody tell me where could I go? When I'm seeking a rescue for my soul.
That place in the sweet by and by, where there'll be no more sorrow, where there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more sadness.
Hallelujah!
Oh, there'll be joy,
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 unspeakable joy. Oh, the half has never been told.
Hallelujah! Woo!
I'm wondering where could I go? But to my Lord.
Praise the Lord. Where would we go if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ? My, I love anointed singing and I love anointed music, how it edifies the soul and the spirit of the child of God. I want to go today to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealous. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. I want to use for a thought today, spiritual purity. Spiritual purity. Needless to say, Satan has sought to pour mixture into God's holy word. Satan has sought to corrupt the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Satan came in through that subtle serpent and beguiled Eve and lied to her concerning the word of Almighty God. Satan didn't waste any time in trying to coerce her down a path of chaos and down a path of utter destruction. And so it is today in the modern church era. Satan has brought in more damnable heresy. He's brought in more false doctrine through so-called men and women who claim to be men and women of God when nothing could be further from the truth. Their desire is not to convert people to righteousness. Their goal, their ambitions are not to lead the people down the straight and narrow path, but their desire is to line their wallets and their pocketbooks and their checking accounts with money so they can further themselves and not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone called me last night and said that Creflo Dollar had on his website, and because there was such an outrage, he took it down. But he was asking for 200,000 people to give him $300 so he could buy a $60 million jet. I'm here to tell you today, we're living in a time when there are more flim-flams and more bamboozles than you can shake a stick at. I am so tired of turning on the radio or turning on the television, and I cannot find a pure, unadulterated word of God because it seems they have all sold out for money and not for the things of the kingdom of God. I was riding down the road yesterday, past this large Baptist church, and it said traditional service 9:30 a.m. contemporary service 11 a.m. I want somebody to tell me when God became a traditional God versus a contemporary God. I want to know what kind of God Jehovah is. I'll tell you who he is. He's the God of Abraham, he's the God of Isaac, and he's the God of Jacob, and he's not going to change it. And you put this tradition on him or this contemporary ideology on him, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God is not going to change for you or me or anybody else in this world. And I'm tired. I'm tired of the hypocrites. I'm tired of these two-timing preachers who do not pray, who do not fast, who never repent, neither preach a message on repentance so that people might enter in through the straight gate, my friend. It's all about money. Somebody shot me an email today about some guy saying, send $333. Let me tell you, if you'll preach the word of God and preach the righteousness of God, I believe the God that we serve will supply every need according to his riches and glory through his son, Christ Jesus. Paul, to the church at Corinth, you will never find a church that had more carnality, that had more sensuality, that had more debasedness and more debauchery than the church at Corinth, than any other church. Why? Because Corinth, the city of Corinth, was a very vile and wicked city. And you see, just like today, we want to grow the church, but you cannot grow the church at the expense of sin. I'd rather have 50 Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, blood-washed, redeemed saints of God to worship with than 10,000 hypocrites who claim to be something that they are not, amen. I want to be around the redeemed. That's the very reason God said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I get so many phone calls and so many emails, Pastor, where can I find a good church? Just the other day, a lady sent an offering to us, and she said, I'm tired of church. I've quit going. I have found your ministry, and I'm just going to set it home. Let me tell you, I'd set it home too. I wouldn't waste my time going to these lifeless, listless, bland, dead, worthless churches. I wouldn't get up and take a shower and shave and put on a suit of clothes and go sit in that dead mortuary and think God's going to do something for me in that kind of a place. That's what's happening to us, and it's getting worse by the very moment. I want you to notice Paul's appeal here to the people at Corinth. He said, would to God, I'm pleading with you, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Bear with me. What does that mean? That means endure me, suffer me to preach to you the truth of God, and don't shun the purity of my message. You see, we know it in 2 Corinthians 2:17. Paul said, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." That's all Paul said we do. We preach Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." You don't hear preachers preach on Calvary. They don't preach on the crucifixion. They don't preach the shedding of blood. They don't preach about his body being marred and mutilated and wounded and spat upon, despised and rejected and cursed. You don't hear preachers preach that kind of a message. Why? It's not popular. We're going to preach something to make you feel good. We want to make you feel good about your sin. We want to make you feel good and just send your tithes and your offerings. And because you give money, well, that's all you need to do to enter into the kingdom of God. That's a lie, my friend. That's a lie. That's a lie straight out of hell. The first recorded words of Mark that Jesus said, Mark 1:15, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Where are men preaching that message today? Repent and believe the gospel. Paul said, "Bear with me. Endure me. Suffer me to preach the word of God." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul, to his beloved son in the faith, Timothy, he said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick," that's the living, "and the dead at his appearing and kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." They will not bear with me. They will not suffer me. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. There's your problem. Lust. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables." They're going to believe a lie. They're believing the lies. They're believing lie after lie after lie after lie. James 1 and 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust." When he's drawn away of his own lust. What did Paul say? "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Look how heaped up. Look how magnified. Look how many false teachers and preachers are in the world. I had a gentleman some time ago said to me, "I wish you could come to my church and preach." He said, "It'd be like taking birdshot and shooting across the congregation over a bunch of quail, and they'd all fly, flutter, get out of the way. They'd run out of the house of God." Why? They don't want to hear the truth. No, they don't want to hear the truth today. And all I preach is the word of God. I don't preach heresy. I don't preach lies. I don't preach false doctrine. I'll give you more Bible in one sermon than you'll get at most churches in 10 years. Why? because God called me to preach the word of Almighty God. He said they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not bear with me. They will not endure my kind of preaching. And you say, well, your kind is different. You mean to say the word of God is different? The same Bible you're reading is the same Bible I'm quoting. What's different about it? There should be no difference. But there is. And that's why we've lost the spiritual purity in the house of God today. Paul said, bear with me. Why? For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Not the envy, malicious jealousy, but the godly jealousy, an affectionate love, an affectionate warmth for his converts who have been converted to Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord God of Israel. Not the bad or evil kind of jealousy. No, not the kind of jealousy that genders strife and contention and things of that nature. He's talking about the love of God. He had a jealousy over these people. Why? Because he loved these people so much. He loved them so much. The Bible says in the Song of Solomon, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. That's the wrong kind of jealousy. That's the kind of jealousy that destroys. That's the kind of jealousy that kills and causes men to do evil things or to do ungodly things. It's the wrong kind of jealousy. Paul said, I have a jealousy over you with a godly jealousy. Mine's the good kind of jealousy. I don't want to lose you. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to fall by the wayside. I don't want to see you repent and get right with God, and 6 months later down the road, you've given up, you've quit on God. I don't want to see that happen to you. He said, I have an affectionate, enduring love for you here at Corinth. For I have espoused you to one husband. In other words, when you became born again, you were joined together. You were betrothed. As in a marriage to Jesus Christ. I espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Let me look at the word here, espoused. I espoused you to one husband in a true, holy marriage, there is to be no infidelity. There's to be no outside person ever come in between a man and his wife, a wife and her husband and their marriage, period. Period. None whatsoever. We are betrothed to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what happens when you have spiritual purity in your life and in your walk with God, without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. The church today, regretfully, is full of wrinkles, full of blemishes, and inundated with spots all over their purported wedding garment because it's mixed with sin. It's mixed with false doctrine. It's mixed with error. It's been tainted by falsehood, by mendacious teachings from vile and evil men that purposely intend to bring error into people's lives, amen. And when it's all said and done, it's all about money. I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of it. Somebody wrote me a note the other day. Brother Ted Brzezinski said, After your fast, your preaching has been more anointed. That's why we fast. That's why we pray. That's why we weep. That's why we cry out to God. We want to come to this microphone and bring to you a pure, unadulterated word. Am I attacked for that day in and day out? There's not a day that goes by that somebody doesn't assault me, and they claim to be a Christian. They claim to be the child of God, but they attack me because I preach the Word of God, and they disagree with my understanding of the Holy Writ when they don't know hardly anything about the Bible, and they want to be an expert. Well, I got news for the experts out there. I don't claim to be an expert. I don't claim to be anything but a preacher, and that's all. James chapter 3, verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You'll receive the greater judgment. The man who thinks he knows everything has a whole lot to learn, doesn't he? Yeah, the man who thinks he knows everything has a whole lot to learn. Let me tell you something. People are falling left and right. They're falling by the wayside. You know why? They're sitting in dead, lifeless, listless churches. I got an email today. This new church in Charlotte's grown from 250 to 17,000. 17,000. But it's like a rock show. It's like a rock concert with all the lights and the strobe lights and the flashing and the this and the. Where's the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord? Fornicators set in there. Adulterers set in there. Sodomites set in there. You say, preacher, isn't that where they're supposed to be? If they can get deliverance, that's where they ought to be. But you cannot get deliverance at a rock show. You can't get deliverance at a rock concert. You can't get deliverance at a bar type atmosphere. You got to be where the Holy Ghost is to find deliverance. Oh, but we don't want the Holy Ghost because he brings conviction. He tells every one of us when we're wrong, doesn't he? He tells me when I'm wrong. He tells me when I have grieved the Holy Spirit. He tells me when I have acted in an unseemly way, when I've said or done something. Why? Because I want the Holy Ghost to convict my conscience. That's what I want. Paul said, I've espoused you. How did he espouse them to one husband? That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I'm going to say something here. Going to knock a lot of you off your chair. Going to knock you off your stool. Going to knock you off your desk. You're being fornicated with. You're being fornicated with. You're sitting in a church. You're listening to a preacher. You're listening to a female so-called teacher who's fornicating with you and selling you a bill of goods that's not worth a dime. They're not chaste, they're not pure, they're not holy, and they're imparting fornication into you, my friend, because they are impure themselves. What does it mean to be chaste? It means to be free from defilement. It means to be free from impurities. You want to sit down and be served a bowl of soup with a hair in it? You want to sit down and eat a T-bone steak, and all of a sudden you see a little cow manure on the side of the plate? You say, that's kind of graphic. That's what defiles. That's what impurities are. We want to be chaste, Paul said, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ, without impurities, without defilement, that I might present you chaste as a virgin. Whoa. What do unmarried people do when they commit fornication? They lose their virginity. They lose their chastity. They lose their chasteness. They lose their purity they've been fornicated with. I'm not so much talking about physical fornication as I'm talking about spiritual fornication today. And it's all throughout the Bible, spiritual fornication to no end. Virgin. What is a virgin? In the natural, it's someone that has never had a sexual relationship with anybody. They've not been tampered with. They're pure. They're undefiled. They're pure without mixture. They haven't been soiled. They haven't been sullied by somebody else. But they have determined to keep themselves pure. There are women, godly women, who have held out and suffered and endured not to sacrifice their virginity until they found the man who would love them and honor them and watch over them and care for them like their own body, according to Paul the Apostle. For no man ever hated his body, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord does the church. That's what a godly woman is looking for, sir. Let me go back to Ephesians 5. Let me pick up, I stopped at verse 27. Let me pick it up at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. See, when a man and a woman become married, they're one. I'll never forget. I did not have sexual relationships with my wife until I married her. And I remember the Friday night a week before we were married on Saturday, knowing in my heart the gravity of sin, the gravity of fornication, and having not slept with her or tainted her, I was trying to somehow in my mind, how is it when I try to do something outside of marriage, I'm condemned, I'm convicted. But next week, when I stand before God and a congregation of people and I make a vow to my wife and to God, and I take her and go to a motel room, and then we both get in the bed together, and it's going to be perfectly pure, perfectly holy, and nothing will be defiled. And I was grappling. I'm not going to lie to you. I was grappling. How is it just because I make this vow that now all of a sudden I can get in the bed with my wife, and it will not be evil, it will not be wrong, it will not be fornication? And I was stunned. I must admit, I was stunned how that our wedding night, there was no ill feelings, there was no guilt, there was no condemnation. You know why? Because it was right in the eyes of God. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Why do you think homosexuals want marriage? They want the honor. Marriage is honorable and all. Well, let me tell all the homosexuals listening. You can break down the laws of the land, but you'll not break down the laws of God. And just because a man gives you a certificate and says you're married doesn't mean a hill of beans in the eyes of God, because God didn't put them together, male and male, but he put together male and a female and joined them together, and it's called a husband and a wife. And that's the way it is. And those of you listening to me out there today who are not married and you're fornicating, you are sinning against your own body. You are sinning against God, because God wants you to have a godly woman and a godly man. And Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23. After God took the rib from Adam's side and made him a woman, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Isn't it amazing when we keep something pure, when we keep something undefiled, there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no disgrace, there's no dishonor. But when we live in sin, look at the disgrace. Look at the dishonor. Look at the refuse that we bring upon our own lives when we get outside of the confines of God's holy word. Paul said that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now let me move on a little bit further. When you listen to false teachers, when you listen to false prophets, when you listen to false pastors, when you listen to Jezebel on television or on the radio, these people are fornicating with you and they are defiling you. Revelation 2, verse 14. "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication." Fornication. What does he say in Revelation 2, 20:21? "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." Now here, he's not talking about physical fornication. He's talking about spiritual fornication. Revelation 9:21, "Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." There's no repentance today over false doctrine. Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verses 1. And verses 2, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, John, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Fornication. We're talking spiritual fornication, dabbling, entertaining false doctrine, entertaining lies from the pits of hell. Jeremiah 3:3, "Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, and thou refusest to be ashamed." You see, it's always about spiritual harlotry, spiritual whoredom, spiritual fornication. You see, Revelation 17 and 5, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the mother of whores, and abominations of the earth." Every denomination gets tainted over one issue. I'm going to make you mad, but that's all right. They get tainted over one issue: money. Money. And what does a whore on the streets at night say to the Johns? what do you want? Or they tell her what they want, and she says, it'll cost you this much. It'll cost you 10, 15, 25, 30, 40. I don't know. I've never done it, but I had a friend. I had a Church of God pastor friend who got caught in a sting. And I approached him while they revoked his license. His name was Stowe. That's all I'm going to say. And I said, how did you do that and preach on Sunday morning? Going out on Saturday night, soliciting a whore, committing that ungodly act, and then go to the pulpit Sunday morning and preach. He said, I got used to it. I learned to do it and get up and preach after I did it. It destroyed the man. It destroyed the man. Now, that's physically, but that physical sin destroyed his spiritual integrity, his spiritual dignity. It was all ruined. Why? Because of sin. Sin. And let me tell you, when you start fornicating doctrinally, you lose your spiritual purity. You lose your virginity. Paul said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I want to present you as a virgin who's not been fornicated with all these false doctrines, with all these false lies, with all of these heresies. Now think about what I'm saying. Well, I'm going to go to a sodomite church Sunday morning and they're going to tell me I'm a child of God. John the Baptist was beheaded because he told Herod it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. He was living in adultery. And because of John telling the truth, it cost him his life. Salome told her daughter when her daughter confided in her, when Herod said, I'll give you half of my kingdom. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Her mama said, ask for John the Baptist's head on a charger, on a plate. And it grieved Herod, but he said, I got to keep my word. So he beheaded John the Baptist because John preached against false doctrine. He preached against adultery. Oh, now we done stepped way out into the deep waters today. Let me tell you something. You know in your heart whether you're right or whether you're wrong. There are grounds for divorce. There are grounds for adultery. I just got an email today of a brother wanting me to call him because his wife has stepped out on him. He's in ministry. He doesn't want to dissolve the marriage. He doesn't want to lose out with God. Four children involved. Don't you think damnable sin will destroy lives? And we go to these churches. We sit in these mortuaries. We sit in these ungodly places that are supposed to be houses of God, and they're nothing but a den of thieves. They don't tell people what's right. If I go to a doctor, I want the doctor to tell me the truth. If I've got something bad wrong with me, I want the physician to tell me what's wrong with me and then try to help me get cured and help me get well. But don't lie to me and take my money and say, go home and take two aspirin and you're going to be all right. Don't do me like that. But that's what people do every day. Every day. Every Sunday. They go to these harlots. Places called houses of God, the mother of harlots, the mother of whores. You say, Pastor, you're preaching awfully hard today. I was in the presence of God for a long time yesterday. God's spirit burned. God's spirit burned in my heart. God's spirit burned all over me. When I got out of bed yesterday morning, the Holy Ghost was all over me. From the time I awakened from my sleep, I was broken. I was weeping. I cried for an hour. I wept for an hour before God. Why? Because I see people who are being fornicated with. How many of you listening to me have children and want your children? How many do you want, of you want your children fornicating or committing adultery? How many of you want that for your children? None of you do. None of you do. You know why? You have a godly jealousy. You have a godly jealousy over your children. You don't want your children ruined. You don't want your children fornicated with and messed up and get with the wrong person. That's the exact same thing that happens when you get around the wrong preacher, around the wrong teacher. You get tainted. You become impure. You become polluted. You become soiled and sullied. You're not what you once were because you lost your purity. You lost your virginity. How many young girls, how many young men have lost their virginity, and would to God, after it was over and done with, they would say, I wish I had not done that. But let me tell you what happens. They become intoxicated on the wine of false doctrine. The wine of false doctrine. The wine of fornication. That's what the Bible calls it. Oh, I know this ain't popular. Probably lose half my listeners. Probably lose half my support after today. Revelation 17:2. Let me give it to you again. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. You're sitting in churches getting drunk on false doctrine. You're being fornicated with. You're being soiled. You're being ruined. You're being ruined because you're drinking the wine of that false doctrine. And the Bible calls it wine of her fornication. And you're drunk and you're intoxicated. And anybody knows when people begin to get drunk, they lose their inhibitions. They lose their chastity. They lose their virginity. They get drunk. They get loose. I know I used to drink. You do stupid stuff when you drink. Girls lose their inhibitions when they start drinking and they become loose. There's a reason God calls it the wine of fornication. Because you get loose in your doctrine. You get loose in your conviction. You get loose in how you feel toward God. Paul, he said, I'm jealous over you. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I don't want people fornicating with you. I want you to be a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ our Lord. This thing is not complicated. Do you hear me? This thing is not complicated. It's preachers who are complicating it, and they're pouring that mixture of wine, of fornication, into the minds, into the spirits of people. Every Sunday they're pouring in stuff that makes them drunk on the things of the world. That was why Paul said, but I fear. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted, your mind should be polluted, your mind should be defiled from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ. What does the word simplicity mean? Purity, sincerity, without dissimulation. Not being self-seeking or self-serving. There it is. That's what's wrong in the church today. Why do you think I'm not a part of a denomination anymore? They don't want me because I preach too straight. Romans 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. I try to preach the purest doctrine and scriptures I can preach to you. I try to preach the purity. I try to live as pure as I can so I can preach a pure gospel to you. Because let me tell you, they're out there to corrupt you. They're out there to defile you. They're out there to destroy you if they can. Well, I don't believe that preacher. Believe what you will. Galatians 2 and 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, Peter, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And in other words, they got away from the simplicity of mere preaching repentance in Jesus' name. Said, now you got to be circumcised. Now you got to do this. Now you got to do that. Now you got to do this. Paul, what a man of God. What a man of God. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, these preachers are slithering, vile serpents, and they beguile the congregation through their subtlety, so the congregation's minds are corrupted, their minds are drunk on the wine of fornication and from the simplicity that is in Christ. This thing is not hard. This thing is not hard, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It is straight. It is narrow. And few there be that find it. It is straight. It is narrow. And few there be that find it. Find it. Find it. Find it. Look for it. Seek for it. Cry out for it. Keep yourself unspotted. Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. God will love you. God will keep you. God will preserve you. God will restore you. You've got to work at keeping your spiritual purity. You've got to turn off these voices. These voices are voices to defile. These voices are voices to corrupt, to take away the purity from your heart. 1 Corinthians 14 and 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. God spoke to my heart one day. He said, David, listen to me. You're going to give an account for every sermon you've ever preached. Do you hear me? He said, you're going to give an account for every sermon that you've ever preached. If that don't put the fear of God in a preacher, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. I don't know what will. When a man prays, when a man seeks God, he'll keep his heart pure. He'll keep his conscience undefiled. He'll keep his spirit continually bathed and washed in the Word of God and in the blood of the Lamb. Father, I have preached your word that you laid on my heart last week. Lord, I've preached the best I know how to deliver the word of God. I've tried to warn, I tried to cause them to stay away from Satan and sin. Honor your word, Lord, it's not mine. It's not my word, Lord, it's yours. How and why you would call flawed men to preach a perfect gospel is beyond me. Lord, help me to be a faithful servant. Help me to be a faithful preacher. Help me to remain uncompromised. Help me to preach an uncompromising message to a compromised generation. Help me, Father, in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, I plead with you to convict There'll be multitudes upon multitudes that will hear this message. Convict them. Convict them. Smite their hearts with Holy Ghost conviction. Smite their hearts, Lord, with conviction. And they know the truth. Bring the truth to their consciences, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Let not this simple message return void. But, Father, I pray it will accomplish that which will please you and prosper in the thing whereinto that you send it. Send forth this word. Lord, let strangers, let people who would never hear this kind of a message, let them hear it, Father. Let them hear it today. Let them hear it. Let it go into their heart. Let it go into their spirit. Let it burn. Oh, God, let it burn. Let it burn out the sin. Let it burn out the dross. Let it burn out the impurities, oh, God. Let it burn it out. I ask you to use your word, Lord, as never before. Use your word as never before, Father, in closing. I pray for Israel right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. The world has no idea how close we're into a place of judgment. But God, I lift up Israel. I lift up Jerusalem right now in closing, Lord. They're before you. Your name is over Jerusalem. I know your word must be fulfilled. But, oh God, before it comes to a climatic ending, say, God, give me souls. God, give me souls. God, give me tens of thousands of souls. God, give me souls, I pray, in Jesus' name. Don't let my words fall to the ground, but let them enter into the hearts of men.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.